I'm delighted to be joined now by Wanda Diaz-Merced. Wanda works at the South African Astronomical Observatory in Cape Town, where she listens to the stars using a technique called sonification. We're going to talk about that just shortly. But Wanda, if I could take you back a bit further, when did you first become interested in science and in the universe?
When I was a child, my interest in space was because I was always wondering about what will happen after you die, see? Mm-hmm. And what happened before? Was I somewhere? I was always wondering about that. And I'm a Buddhist now. At that time, I was a Catholic, and I respect all religions. And at that time, it was explained to me as a mystery. So something that I would be able to figure out in my afterlife. So that did fuel my curiosity even more to keep searching, right? And by looking up, I would perceive the expanse, the vastness of space, right? Little dots of light. When you look up into the sky, things are very, very, very far away from us, right? Some of them a little bit brighter, some of them not as bright, right, as compared to each other. The more I would look at them, it would seem that the number of those sources of light were infinite. And that kept fueling my interest on outer space. Why is that up there? And I was sighted at the time, so I could perceive them with my eyesight. And at that time, when I was a child, I grew up in a township. Proudly, I grew up in a township, and I didn't know that sciences like astronomy, like chemistry, like biology did exist. Remember, I grew in a time when we didn't have the training children have now in schools and the different programs. That was non-existent at that time. And to me, to become a scientist meant to be a doctor. So I wanted to become a doctor just because I wanted to explore, to study the mysteries of life, to understand things. I just wanted to become a scientist.
Who was the first person to really notice and take an interest in you and give you the belief that you could become an astrophysicist?
I learned about astronomy when I was already in the university. What happened was that my eyesight was deteriorating rapidly, and I was doing an undergraduate degree in physics.
And your sight loss, that was due to diabetes?
Yeah, to diabetes, severe degenerative diabetic retinopathy. So what happened was that I'm losing my sight. I'm doing my degree in physics, almost finishing the bachelor's degree and starting my master's in the university. And I do remember that a friend of mine, one of my worries at that time was, what am I going to do? In physics, it's so visual. I don't have a way to do experiments or make my way forward as a researcher, because I always wanted to explore. I wanted to be a researcher. So what happened was that a friend of mine, his name is Emilio, he was the only one who knew that I was losing my sight. I was, in Spanish, it will be negación. So what I used to do was to hide the cane in my backpack during the daytime. I would have enough perception as to be able to walk to certain places without using a cane, keeping the cane in my backpack. Negación is neglectfulness. I don't know how to call that in English, Barry. It's that you're denying to yourself that something is happening.
It sounds better than Spanish anyway, Wanda.
Yeah, so negación. So I was in a phase of negación in Spanish. What happened is that everything was so visual. My grades were not very good. And I was not perceiving a way out. And in my mind, right, I must have been 21, 22 years old. At that time, I was not ready. I perceived the world as a world that was not made for me to continue on being independent, right? Coming from a family that needs a lot of help. And I was the only one with the prospects of being able to help my mom, who has been lovely her entire life and has never asked me for anything. What happened was that my friend, Emilio told me about this new tool. The name is the Radio Jove Receiver. It's a new tool that was prepared at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. And it was a small radio telescope that you can solder at home, very easy to assemble. And the radio telescope would translate, would in real time, will convert into audio signals detected by an antenna, directly translating without using any audio, specific audio parameters or sound parameters. That is audification. It's just translating it into the audible for reasons of parameters and comprehension, right? Mm-hmm. So you listen when intensities increase, when intensities decrease. So the thing is that he brought this tool to me, and I heard the audification, and what I heard was a sunburst. So it's a sudden emission of energy from the sun. What I heard was as the intensity of the energy that is regularly ejected from the sun, as that energy suddenly increased, and then it reached again its normal levels. So I heard that, and I said, this is the way I'm going. If I could hear this, perhaps I can make it possible to hear other things using audio. That is when it became a possibility. And I became familiarized. That was my first interaction with astronomy, right? With a radio telescope. I really didn't have, when I was doing my, it was other times, right?
Yeah.
Bachelors, et cetera. I didn't have the opportunity to get familiarized with other branches of physics or other branches of biologies or chemistries. I decided to become an astronomer. I decided to, first, it was not to become an astronomer so much. It was to get familiarized with this tool. I didn't know that that was called astronomy, right?
Sure.
I wanted to become familiarized with this tool and start to use it to listen to the energy from the sun, because I found that so fascinating.
So talk me through it, Wanda.
Well, the audification, the process of translating from the antenna to the receiver, the signal may take nanoseconds to arrive. From the antenna, it takes 8 minutes to travel from the sun to the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets into the ground or on top of my antenna. In those potential differences or energy, is communicated to my by the wires and the connectors in the antenna to a receiver.
Yeah,
that takes nanoseconds. At the same time, in the receiver, very fast, because this is light. Traveling, right? The particles that move really fast, traveling. There is an electronic component that takes those intensities and in less than a second translates that, converts that from a potential difference to a frequency difference. And that is when you can hear it. Then the audio, it goes into an audio output, and in that audio output, you listen. So it happens almost simultaneously. You can adjust the sound to your comfortability as a listener, to your range, so you will not lose any details. If you're using sonification, which is to use sound parameters in order to augment your sensitivity to events that may be embedded in the information. So in that case, for example, sometimes I increase my range by 1 or 2 octaves to listen to it better. If I find that perhaps the noise floor or the information, the dimmer changes in the sound may be more rich in information, then I will increase that by 1 or 2 octaves in order to listen to it better.
Now, Wanda, you're making a great job of explaining this, but I actually have an audio clip here which will allow everyone to hear it as you hear it at the observatory. We'll have a listen to that, and then we'll get you to comment on it in just a second.
What you heard there is radio intensities of light acquired by a radio telescope, and we were monitoring the intensities of energy in high parts of our atmosphere called the ionosphere. An ion is a particle that has an electrical charge. And what happens in there is that when you hear the pitches going up, it means that the intensities of energy are going up. We call it scintillation because it's like a flash. It's like an intensity that increases suddenly. The sonification that you heard, I used as a timbre, voice ooze, because I wanted to go as high or as low possible in timbres. There is no wider range than the human voice. Also, I did play it at a very low tempo, right? So I would be able to compare the intensity of one data point with the next data point. I also sonified it in pitch. So I was listening to the different tones, how they were varying. And what happens is that in those very high parts of the ionosphere that I already explained, these flashes, they happen. And they happen momentarily. The energy from the sun, or known to us as the solar wind, impacts or comes and shocks into Earth, gets through it, and interacts with the particles that are already in that region of our atmosphere. And sometimes it energizes it a little bit more. That may cause interferences, and that may cause also for wider regions to form that may last about 30 seconds or a little bit more, or then we call it a plasma bubble. Plasma is ionized gas, and that forms in understanding those scintillations, right? Give us a better understanding of the solar wind. And as I mentioned earlier, because I study the interaction of the energy from the sun or the solar wind with cosmic rays, that is what I'm doing right now. Knowing how those regions of the atmosphere behave, it also helps me being able to determine possible atmospheric parameters of planets that are outside of our solar system. And that can be extended to planet habitability. I haven't been the first one using sonification. I have to open a parenthesis. Remember, astronomy comes from using sound, but no one had given a methodology or has done experiments to test if really audio is a choice to study this information. The only thing that I did was that I carried perception experiments. Because I'm a scientist, I need to know if it works or not.
Describe an average day when you go into work at the South African Observatory. What kind of things are you doing?
Well, I wake up at 4, right? I live in the observatory. So I wake up at 4 and I start working on Inspiring Stars, which is an exhibit that we will display at the International Astronomical Union General Assembly in Vienna, which is to showcase everything that is done, how we promote, encourage inclusion, our identity as an inclusive astronomy community. So I start working on that. And while I'm working on that and trying to find things to display in Inspiring Stars, I'm also listening to my data, to measurement. Because asymmetrically, while I'm working on what to display on Inspiring Stars, I'm trying to come forth with new methods to explore my data. So right now, I'm working on cosmic rays, and I listen to those, I listen to the solar wind, and then how do I convey this in this exhibit? How can I get the people, when they come to this exhibit, to also perceive what I'm perceiving in this information? At the same time, I do mentoring of peoples in other countries that are trying to begin initiatives so they can foster the scientific skill of inquiry in all peoples, abled, disabled, etc. I also work on teacher training. and that is a teacher training for school level. My professional aspect, which is analyzing my data, and the outreach aspect, which is how do I bring this that I just heard and I just corroborated to the people so they can develop the interest and a sense of possibility. So things are in place for them to get to perform the science if they want to perform it.
You sound pretty busy.
I spend the whole day back and forth in between these three and four aspects.
The question that I need to ask you, Wanda, do you believe yes. there's life outside Earth?
Of course I believe it. It's, to me, life is so vast and it's so infinite that I can't limit life. I can't have the arrogance to limit life as to be only expressed in one form or from one only origin, as it is water. It may be anything, even ways that I would have never thought about.
If anyone that's listening is going through sight loss themselves, what advice would you give to them?
I would tell them not to give up. Never, ever give up. Hang on to your dreams and make them possible. If a way do not exist, just focus your mind on finding a way to make it possible. I dare everything I have to your potential, and I know that you will make it possible.
And what does the future hold for you?
More research. More data analysis. A lot of students getting to be professional and professional scientists and getting to be good citizens for society. A lot of students getting to be mainly good citizens, not only scientists, getting to be good citizens and contributing, giving back to society.
Wanda Diaz-Merced, it's been a real pleasure talking to you on RNIB Connect Radio.
My dear friend, don't get lost. Don't become a stranger.